I'm Karen Given, and it's time for three stories you should know.
I always say, you know, for me, negativity is nothing. So as long as it doesn't kill me, it makes me stronger, like I said. So
that was South African runner Caster Semenya speaking to BBC Sports after winning a race in Doha last Friday, and that's where we're going to start this week. I'm joined by New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach via Skype and by Bleacher Report's Miran Fader. Welcome back to both of you.
An honor as always.
Hey, Karen, thanks for having me.
All right, Miran, you're first.
At the beginning of the month, the Court of Arbitration in Sport decided to uphold a ruling that requires athletes with what they call disorders of sex development, more commonly called intersex conditions, to lower their testosterone levels if they want to compete with women. They said, you're free to compete with men, but if you want to compete with women, you are going to have to undergo medical regulations. You know, you could have to do invasive surgery if it comes to that. They basically are saying, you know, you aren't woman enough and you are too dominant. Because this is really focused on athletes that do races that she does, which is kind of the middle distance, the 400 meters to a mile. I really think that this is going to have devastating effects on inclusivity within women's track and field. It really is truly a discriminatory ruling against athletes like Caster Semenya.
I have to say, this is absolutely just flabbergasting. I mean, she's a woman. I mean, it's so bizarre. And basically reverse doping, right? They're asking her to, like, if she wants to be with a woman, she has to lower her testosterone and to take, like, hormonal contraceptives, which, by the way, are not like Flintstones vitamins. Like, these things have side effects. Eleanor Fulton, a pro runner, she wrote, listen, it feels to me like a humanity fail. I don't feel like we as humans will look back on this issue and feel like we were on the right side of history with mandated hormonal manipulation. I guarantee you, I am not a futurist, but there is no way that history looks back at this decision and doesn't find it shameful.
You know, I've been looking back this week to coverage from 2004. Maybe you know where I'm going to go with this. Michael Phelps had just set 7 world records in 41 days, and he was portrayed as a genetic freak. His torso was too long for his legs. His arms were too long for his height. He had size 14 feet. He had hyperflexibility and, quote, a freakish ability to recover quickly. And all of this was like sort of breathlessly reported as if Michael Phelps was built by some sort of higher power to swim very, very fast. But nobody was suggesting that the International Swimming Federation should make a rule that only affected athletes with the specific genetic differences that Michael Phelps had. That would just be completely unthinkable. But I have been trying to put myself in the shoes of the people whose livelihoods, whose ability to feed their families depends on running faster than Caster Semenya. Miran, as you said, Caster is believed to be intersex. We've had a similar conversation, you and I, in regards to a high school runner who is transgender. And you made the really good point that in high school, the stakes are low. There's no reason to pull her from the sport. Does that argument at all change when we're talking about elite professional runners?
I mean, I think it's a different argument considering, you know, the high school runner, the transgender runner. But I think the common thread throughout this is that there are so many things that can affect an athlete's performance, right? Mm-hmm. And if you single it down to just sex, you're missing all the other factors that are contributing. You know, Caster is an interesting case because if Caster was not dominating, I really don't think the conversation would be what it is now. I mean, it's clearly targeted at her races.
Will, you're up.
So last Friday, one of the more intriguing questions in the otherwise very boring world of sports media was answered in that 21 regional sports networks, your Fox Sports Midwest or your Fox Sports South and so on, were sold to avoid kind of antitrust issues. So there were a lot of bidders for this. Liberty Media, Major League Baseball, a group led by Ice Cube, which would have been awesome, by the way. But no, turns out it was none of them. Instead, it was Sinclair, our friends at Sinclair Broadcasting, those, of course, who brought us that wonderful video famously put together by Deadspin's Tim Burke, where they bought all these regional news networks and had them do like very kind of disturbing right-wing propaganda. And so basically they have moved into sports. And so there's a lot of people worried in the world of sports that like, wow, if Sinclair, this right-wing group, buys these local stations, what's the programming going to be like? And I would argue it's bad because the programming is probably not going to change anyway. There are things that these networks already do that Sinclair doesn't even have to ask them to do. We like to think that the world of sports has become more progressive and become more inclusive, and in some ways it has, but in the whole on the whole, I think that Sinclair will find this pretty friendly territory.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not something that we aren't already seeing. I just think that, you know, it's going to, I don't know, if there is any effect, it would be more so the person watching, like, do I want to watch this and support, which is hard because you want to watch your sports. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything different than what the networks are already doing.
You know, I did find myself wondering as I was thinking through this, what would have happened if Colin Kaepernick had kneeled and Sinclair had owned the network? Like, how would that affect how that was covered, what was shown? And so in that sense, I suppose I am worried. But I really think that, you know, anyone who gets their news from their play-by-play guy is already getting a skewed view of the world, right? So I'm actually not worried about the fact that the Sinclair Group now owns 21 regional sports networks. I am concerned about the fact that they own 193 news stations.
Yeah, and on one hand, I think that's true. On the other hand, certainly one of the things that Sinclair says is that, oh, don't worry, you won't even see politics on our broadcast at all, which is kind of the new thing now, right?
Right.
Like, but that is really a very corporate way of saying stick to sports. I think what you'll see, frankly, is you won't see Kaepernick mentioned at all. Yeah. You won't see the kneeling mentioned at all because we're trying to stick to sports here. And as I always try to remind people every time I write anything about politics and sports, and they're all yelling at me to stick to sports all the time, it is impossible. Like, you cannot separate politics from sports because you cannot separate politics from anything.
Yeah. All right. Well, on Wednesday, Nick Saban, he of Alabama football's 6 national championships, was interviewed on WJOX in Birmingham. And he was asked about Game of Thrones.
No, I get it. But, you know, the White Walkers were the bad dudes, man. I mean, if we were recruiting, we would go north and try to recruit some of those guys.
All right. I'm probably the only person on the planet who has never watched an episode of this show. But I am told by very good sources that the White Walkers are not such a good choice. They're rather slow. Apparently, lateral movement might be a problem. What fictional character would you recruit to play on your team?
Karen, you are not the only human on the planet that does not watch this. I am coming in second, and I log onto Twitter, and I'm like, Sundays, I'm like, wow, what are you all talking about? But it's just hilarious when you're like, oh, okay, this is my beat, and I don't understand this reference.
So I would say, if I may continue to our unrepresentative sample size theater, I also have not watched Game of Thrones. It actually gives me a good sense of what it's like for someone that literally never watches sports. Like, that must be what it looks like, right?
Right.
However, I will say, if you are going to be recruiting fictional characters, if I may speak to another recent online meme, how about Sonic the Hedgehog, right? Oh. If they fix his teeth, Sonic the Hedgehog is an incredible running back. There is no way he can go through you. He can go around you. He is a hedgehog after all. Sure, Sonic, there's an injury risk. But honestly, they're making hedgehogs by the dozen these days. So by all means, I'm going to go with Sonic.
All right, I'm going to fight you on this one, Will. Because I don't want to get all spoilery, but I'm going with Captain Marvel. If you have a precious object and want to get it past a ton of defenders, she is your gal.
Yes. So apparently she's always on other worlds playing other sports until she is needed specifically.
She might not be there for you when you need her.
I need consistency. Vote hedgehog.
My guests for this week's edition of 3 Stories You Should Know have been Bleacher Report's Miran Fader and New York Magazine contributing editor Will Leach. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.